Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah. Can you feel it, baby?
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Thanks for tuning in. Andrew is living out one of his childhood dreams. He's snuck into the Bay Center, jumped on the Zamboni, and he can't find the brake. So the staff is running around trying to get at the Zamboni stopped.
It's just going round and
just
round.
Just round around the ice rink, yeah. So, but hopefully they'll get it stopped and it'll be
back a clean
next
rink.
Week. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But on the phone with us now, we have got the chair of the Escambia County Commission from District 4, Ashley Hoffberger. Ashley, thanks for calling in today.
Yes, good morning. And thank you for the flashbacks to the Mighty Ducks movie. I appreciate that this morning.
I like it. Ashley, there's a lot going on in the county. And one of the exciting things, you've been in office for just a little over a year. And I know that you and the former Commissioner Robert Bender go to family functions. And so you're going to have to rub it in his face that you've been in for just over 12 months. And Pensacola Beach is named the best beach in the country. I mean, how exciting.
I know. How amazing is that?
I mean, what was he doing for 6 years?
We live here, so we know it's beautiful. Yeah. You know, we live here and we go on the weekends and we know it's beautiful, but to have it recognized nationally and, you know, it was us and then Navarre Beach and then Hawaii. So what better company can you be in, right?
Exactly. But there is a lot going on out at the beach. Big project that we try and do about every decade, and that's beach renourishment. And this was, you know, a big priority for you, and just wanted to give you a chance to talk about that and how it's going so far.
Yeah, so that is going to get kicked off on February 9th, and it's going to start near Fort Pickens, and then it will work its way down all the way to Dog Park East, and that should wrap up around April 13th. And so that gets all of beach renourishment out of the way before our big spring break crowds come and the peak summer season comes. And beach renourishment is so important just to preserve our shoreline. It helps with the impact of hurricanes. And of course, it ensures that we have beautiful white sand to continue to visit the beaches on.
Right. And that's where they pump in over almost 2 million cubic yards of sand that they're pumping in from, you know, out somewhere else in the Gulf and pumping it in onto the beach. So we have a bigger beach because it erodes over time, right?
Yes, that's correct. And the sand kind of moves around. You can look at maps from, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and you can kind of see the way that the tide moves the sand around. And so this is just renourishing that sand, making sure that we're protecting the shoreline. And it is a really awesome process to watch, just the ships pumping it up on shore. And I know that we're planning to go out after they finish each segment and kind of look for the seashells. And those are bigger shells than we usually get to see. And it'll be a really neat experience for our community to watch that and, you know, see what comes ashore.
Awesome. And I know that you recently have joined other elected officials around the state in requesting that, you know, again, we have no offshore drilling in the Gulf in and around Florida, and just kind of wanted to give you a chance to say why that is such a big deal for especially Escambia County.
It is. So about a third of our budget is based on tourism, and we really, really rely on that. One in five families in Escambia County is a military family. And so if we were to have drilling off the shore of Escambia County or in the near vicinity, it would interrupt both of those things. So the two things that drive our economy would be drastically diminished. And as a community, we just can't afford that. So we have to make sure that we're protecting our livelihood, but that we're also protecting the beach for the residents that live out there and those of us who enjoy it on the summertime. And this was one of the only things that I have ever seen a unanimous agreement between every elected official at the state level in the state of Florida saying, hold on, wait, this isn't going to be good for our communities. It's not going to be good for our coastline. Let's back up and let's look at this and let's make sure our voices are heard. So just thank you to our elected officials on the state level. But also on a local level, you had the Escambia County Commissioners, the City Council of Pensacola, SRIA, Visit Pensacola. We all sent letters to make sure that the community's voice was heard. This is our shoreline. We want to make sure that it's protected. We can't afford another oil spill. you know, Healthy Coast or Healthy Gulf hosted a wonderful event out at the beach on Saturday. And, you know, one of the speakers, they said, we don't have to think about what it might be like to have another oil spill. We know what it's like to live through that.
Right.
And when he said that, it really hit home as a small business owner, because that's a livelihood. You know, he said he was 2 weeks away from closing shop, and that's just really scary to think about.
Yeah, that is scary. And again, such an important issue. And we all lived through that when that happened before. And we certainly don't want to see that again. We got Ashley Hoffberger, the chair of the Escambia County Commission. We'll be right back with her after traffic on the fives and a few commercials.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Back to rolling accident-free right now, but not delay-free. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 12-minute delay in that area. And also Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road, a 9-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you desire appreciation? Do you find yourself full of anxiety and frustration when you've served people humbly, yet it seems they've completely taken you for granted? Certainly, if you've served in such a way, people should be thankful and they should express their appreciation. However, it's unhealthy and unwise for any of us to crave appreciation from others. The fact is, people are generally consumers. They will often consume your service and move on to the next thing in their lives. The key is to serve others as unto the Lord. Do your service thoroughly and humbly, as if you're serving God Himself. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Man's approval and appreciation is way overrated. And frankly, God's approval is way undersought.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson on News Radio 92.3. Filling in for Andrew McKay. And before the break, we had the chair of the Escambia County Commission from District 4, Ashley Hoffberger, on the line. Ashley, again, thanks for calling in this morning and chatting with us about all things in Escambia County.
Yes, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know one of your top priorities, maybe number one priority, was EMS and first responders. And there's some big updates with a new medical director, more shifts coming online, and some upcoming CPR classes that residents can take advantage of. And I want to give you a chance to tell us a little bit more about what's going on with EMS.
Yeah, thank you so much for highlighting that. You know, these folks serve our community, and when we dial 911, we expect them to respond. And there's so much that has to go on in the background to make that happen. One of the things that we are working on right now is a grant for NextGen 911, which will automate some AI technology into our 911 system, and it will also update the way that we're able to dispatch and track vehicles. And that is really, really exciting. We also have brought on a new medical director. We're working on getting his contract finalized, and that has had almost an immediate impact on our community. So our resuscitation rates for 2024, before Dr. Abo came on board, were under 10%, and national average is about 20%. And since he has been on board over the last year, we have upped those resuscitation rates to 40%. And that is huge. So if you've had a family member or a friend go into cardiac arrest, you know how important that resuscitation is. And it is literally numbers that result in saving lives. So that's directly from the training and the protocols that he's put into place. And it's very encouraging to see almost an automatic change in something so important. When we look at the numbers for calls last year, we had almost 1,000 cardiac arrest calls come in. So if you look at the percentage that now those folks are being able to return to a healthy life, that's huge for our community. So that's very exciting.
That's amazing. And yeah, super impressive. I mean, going from 10 to 40%, that is wild, and good job on working on that. And truly, I mean, helping to save people's lives and getting some of those changes in there at EMS. I know with that, there's some CPR classes. Is this something that folks in the community that they can sign up for, or is this just CPR classes that maybe the EMS staff went through themselves?
Yeah, thank you so much for highlighting that. And so public safety, one of their goals this year was to reach more people with CPR classes. So they are working on hosting a countywide event that they're going to have at the Bay Center, actually. And so that'll be open to the entire community. And that's going to be a large scale event. So you'll be able to come in, learn CPR. And then they're also working on AED training. So they're going to do all of that training at the Bay Center. They're working on getting an announcement out for that and the details. On a smaller scale, we are also going to be hosting a CPR class at the new Ferry Pass Community Center in March. So that will be limited seating just because of the venue, but we will be getting the information out to that. And talking with Dr. Abo and talking with Chief Watts, who is over EMS, their goal this year is to get as many people certified. And so they're actually asking if you have businesses or classrooms or large groups of people, maybe your church group that is interested in learning CPR, you can actually contact public safety and they'll work with you to get that class put on. So that is going to make a really big impact, because if someone, the survival rate in a community is actually directly correlated to how many people and what percentage of folks in that community know CPR.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. And then again, people just can check out the MyEscambia.com website when y'all kind of roll out that larger scale CPR class at the Bay Center to maybe find out more details and get signed up and all that good stuff. So that's exciting.
Yeah. So all that will be on MyEscambia.com. And then Escambia County Public Safety has their own Facebook page as well. So if you are on social media, I really encourage you to follow that. They put out helpful hints and tricks and things like that, that could end up saving your life or your child's life. Something that I was unaware of is, I guess there's a bad habit of some of the children swallowing the little batteries that look like dimes. And so Dr. Abo put out an entire video on what to do if your child swallows that as EMS is en route. That way you can start administering first aid immediately.
Wow. Well, that's a super helpful tool for the community. And again, all the work that you've been putting in with EMS, got the new medical director, these CPR classes coming up. And then is there more shifts or expanded shifts coming into EMS as well?
Both, actually, which is really based on the numbers and the call volumes. One of the things that I learned was there's actually peak call times for folks dialing 911 in our community. So when Chief Watts came on board, which August will be 2 years for him, and he's made a huge impact on just employee retention and training and the goals for that department. One of the things he looked at was call volumes and staffing. And he almost immediately put into place a mid-shift ambulance. So we're running a couple more trucks in the middle of the day, which is when that higher volume's coming in. So we're making sure that those folks are being served and that we're able to get to them quicker. We're tracking the type of calls, like the how critical is the call and the response time on those calls. But we're also tracking patient outcomes now. So what is the survival rate of people who call 911? And then they are looking at this matrix to see what we can do better in training and how we can better serve our community.
That's amazing. Well, again, thank you for the work that you do with EMS. Big, big priority for you. And I think that's exciting and a great thing for this community that you've been working so hard on it and seeing some progress, you know, in just a little over a year. So we're going to go real quick to John with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Back to rolling accident free right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. right, this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We have got the chair of the Escambia County Commission from District 4 on the line with us, Ashley Hoffberger. And we've been talking about the beach. We talked a lot about EMS as well and all the important things going on there. And the big thing that's coming up is at the TDT meeting tomorrow, and then again as the county commission on Friday, you'll be hearing and getting a presentation about the Bay Center plan that has finally come out. And so just kind of want to get your first take of looking at it and what you expect to hear in the meetings tomorrow and on Friday as well.
Yeah, so I am so excited to see what they have laid out for the Bay Center. There's a lot of upgrades provided in there, and it's got really good bones. So the question is, how do we invest our dollars most appropriately to get a good ROI for our community and to bring in acts that we haven't been able to bring in historically? And when we look at, you know, the proposal, it is expensive, but everything's expensive. So we're going to have to really pick and choose what we put in there and what we prioritize. And I'm looking forward to that discussion with the BCC and getting everyone's input on that. And, you know, reading through the Facebook comments, one of the, I guess, misinformation things out there is that it is funded with ad valorem tax dollars, so your property tax dollars. And the benefit of us being a tourism community is that Bay Center is going to be funded mostly through TDC dollars. So that head and bed tax dollars that you see from all of our visitors that come in, we're going to be able to bond that money and put in a amenity that our entire community is going to be able to enjoy just from the income that we receive from the visitors that come to Pensacola every year.
Yeah. And I know it, you know, for the public, a lot of times if they're not following it, they're not, you know, eating, breathing local government and how all these funds work. And I've heard the mayor talk about this as well, is y'all have got different, you've got a very big budget, but there's all these silos of how that revenue is generated, and then what those dollars can then be spent on are a lot of times restricted. And so again, this what the county is looking at, from my understanding, is looking at those TDT, someone books a stay out at the beach or books a stay at a hotel by the airport or up off 9 Mile Road. They pay a portion of that goes to the tourist development tax, and that has to be then turned back around and spent on things that would create more tourism. And so that's what these dollars that you'll be talking about tomorrow for the Bay Center.
Absolutely correct. That is 100% right. And you call them silos, I call them pots of money. Yeah. And you're right, they are very much restricted by state statute on what we can spend those on. So if we were to take TDC money and spend on something that was unrelated to tourism, that would actually be a violation of state statute. So thank you so much for highlighting that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, it is a big price tag, $185 million. Are there areas of that plan that you are kind of more intrigued by to get some more answers on how you might be able to reduce what they're showing in this plan, or things that you think, you know, are certainly a bigger priority than others, or just kind of wait and see what you get and hear about over the next couple of days?
So I feel like the Bay Center itself is going to be top priority. It's already existing, and I don't think it would be responsible of us to build something next to the Bay Center that's nice and pretty when we have the Bay Center looking and functioning the way that it does. So I think we're going to need to focus on that and prioritize upgrading the Bay Center first and then adding different parts of that plan on. There's room for public-private partnerships. There's room for, you know, working with other municipalities, City of Pensacola, things of that nature to really have a partnership in those areas. So I'm really excited to explore those options.
Great. Well, I'm excited to watch and hear about the whole process and what they've come up with. They've been working months on this to put this report together for you guys. And so that'll be an interesting thing. And y'all aren't taking a vote tomorrow or Friday. Just want to make that clear as well. Right. So
that is correct. So at the TDC meeting, we do have an emergency meeting coming. I shouldn't say emergency.
Yeah,
it's
just
exciting.
Just to kind of go over the plan.
We want to Alex. Yeah.
Well, Ashley, sorry, we're running out of time. I appreciate you calling in, giving us a rundown of District 4 in Escambia County, the chair of Escambia County, Ashley Hoffberger. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks, Walker. Have a great day. Bye.
News News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump has just arrived in Davos, Switzerland, where he'll deliver the keynote speech at the World Economic Forum. His son Eric is there, joining Mornings with Marie on Fox Business.
It's a different type of Davos, to say the least. I mean, my father wants to talk about America first. He wants to talk about, you know, Western way of life winning once again. He wants to talk about having the best energy price anywhere in the world, having the lowest taxes anywhere in the world, having, you know, upward mobility for people.
The president's arrival was delayed due to a mechanical electrical issue on Air Force One. President Special Envoy Steve Witkoff also in Davos saying he plans to discuss peace efforts with the Russian President Putin.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that all meetings will go well on that subject. We need a peace.
Witkoff added he would meet with Ukrainians later without giving a specific date. And half of Kyiv still without power, said Ukraine's President Zelensky. After another Russian attack, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 44 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson, and that's on the way here in just a few minutes. Santa Rosa County Commissioners have unanimously selected Bayou District Consulting to redevelop the old courthouse property in downtown Milton. The firm offered $1.14 million for the 3.6-acre site. Plans call for a restoration of the 1920s courthouse building for civic and commercial use, while removing some additions that were made in the 60s. The development would include townhouses, walk-up apartments, possibly a rooftop restaurant. Commissioners say they do want to negotiate a higher price and make sure the developer understands the state does have plans to widen Highway 90 through downtown. Baldwin County commissioners have adopted an updated access management plan for the Baldwin Beach Express 2 corridor. The 25-mile highway connects Interstate 10 to Interstate 65 to provide emergency evacuation routes and relieve congestion. The plan calls for grade-separated interchanges at major intersections, including along US 31 and Truck Trail 17. Minor intersections would have right-in, right-out access only. County Engineer Frank Lundy says that plan would allow for better access to property owners and still preserve traffic flow. Well, thieves stole about $500,000 worth of boat motors and electronics from an Orange Beach storage yard. Seven boats were hit at Davy Jones Boat Storage on Sunday night into Monday morning. Nine motors, four lower units, and Garmin electronics were taken. Security cameras captured a box truck arriving that night, leaving 7 hours later. Police are also looking for an older Cadillac Escalade in relation to the incident. The vehicles were seen heading into Florida on Monday morning. A veteran radio broadcaster was awarded the prestigious Legacy Award recently. Robert Hill was the voice for Pensacola's African-American community.
Pensacola locals were honored recently during the 2026 Living the Dream Gala. That tribute, happening Saturday night to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., is an ongoing annual event here in Pensacola. One of this year's eight honorees was longtime veteran broadcaster Robert Hill. Hill was known as the voice of Pensacola's African-American community and the recipient of the 2026 Legacy Award. Hill said he was honored to be in a position to deliver timely and accurate information to his morning radio audience for many years. Robert Hill just retired, by the way, from WRNE Radio after performing 50 years of broadcasting excellence. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, Pensacola International Airport got a bit of a sci-fi makeover yesterday morning. The airport officially changed its name to Pensacola Intergalactic Airport. For the next month to run through Pensacon. Convention organizer Mike Ensley says first-time visitors to the airport get excited when they see the signs.
Our guests are always very excited when they arrive. If they've never been here, they see all the decorations and they feel like the con has already started by the time they get here.
It is the 13th year for the annual name-changing tradition. Pensacon runs February 20th through the 22nd at the Pensacola Bay Center. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's get a look at our traffic at the fives.
That's right. It's brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox them out.
Back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest experiencing about a 12-minute delay. And also Highway 29 southbound heading toward 9 Mile Road, 15-minute delay. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola experiencing a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And it is 7:35. Let's get a quick check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a nice day today with a small 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly sunny skies, high near 61 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. Going into Thursday, 30% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly sunny skies, high near 67. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 43. As you head into Friday, 40% chance of some showers with partly cloudy skies, high near 68 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 44 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Hey, if you've got a kid who's struggling at all with math, it's frustrating. Frustrating for them, can be frustrating for you because you feel like, man, I don't know that I was all that good at math, or I never liked it that much, or they're teaching it differently these days, or maybe you think that math is something you're kind of born with, or, you know, that people either have it or they don't. Well, guess what? If there's any issue with one of your kids with math, Mathnasium is your answer. First of all, they are committed to helping kids be better at math. I know they're very good friends of mine, the owners. My son actually taught at Mathnasium for a year. It is a fantastic program, and trust me, anybody can learn to be better at math. So you go in, and they do a free assessment, no obligation. They'll figure out what your child knows, doesn't know, what they struggle with, what they're good at, and then they'll recommend a plan of action. They take step-up money, so there's money available from the state, but the first step is just get them assessed because they can help every kid. 90% of students have an improvement in their school grades. 94% of parents report an improvement in their child's math skills and understanding. Mathnasium is a fantastic program located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Today at 9:30, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes opening doors of Northwest Florida to the studio. Executive Director Bruce Cady will be telling us all about the upcoming Point in Time Count, which is the annual national census of people experiencing sheltered and unsheltered homelessness. Volunteers are needed, and details will be discussed. So don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 with opening doors of Northwest Florida.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Andrew has taken one of the excavators off of the new Palafox project, driven it up to 9 Mile Road, and is just being too impatient because he's trying to help build the Costco. And
you know, that's so super nice of him.
You know, he tries. He tries. And we do have on the line with us, he calls in every Wednesday, the mayor of the city of Pensacola, DC Reeves. DC, thanks for calling in today.
Absolutely. Walker, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. Just you know, a little tired, but we'll make it through. There's some Celsius out there somewhere I can have to get me through the day. So
that's right.
I know we were just talking with Ashley Hoffberger, County Commissioner, about the Pensacola Bay Center and that plan that's coming out. I just kind of want to give you a couple minutes of, you know, I know the city has had conversations about the Bay Center and where they might fall in involvement, and kind of, you know, y'all in the wait and see what they kind of get, and what processes and steps are y'all in with the Bay Center conversations as a city?
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly is a big conversation, a consequential one for our downtown and our county. And, you know, it's funny when these topics come up because, you know, sometimes there might be county residents who say, well, you know, that's in the city. Well, city residents are county residents. And so this is a county issue and a city issue at the same time. You know, city residents pay the same millage as county residents pay. And I know sometimes with two different governments, we forget that, you know, really on both sides, that city is county and county is city. So, you know, so this is a enormous project for impact at not just in our downtown, but at our beaches and in the surrounding areas. So my opinion is, I think it's pretty clear. I think this building got built when I was born, and there hasn't been significant upgrades really made to it since then. So, you know, my focus is first and foremost on the renovation of the building. And I continue to use platforms like this to myth bust. One of the biggest FAQs out there is, well, it's an old building. Why don't they knock it down and just build a new one? Well, because every engineer that we've talked to, and this is, I know the county could affirm this, every engineer we've talked to said there's not a planet of which that makes financial sense. If you were to knock the building down, it could be $400 million. And the fact is, the actual bones of the original Civic Center are pretty good. So it's not, you know, people might think of it as a Band-Aid approach. It isn't. It is the most logical and most tax-efficient approach to actually just strip it down to the bones and then come back with a renovation. And the final product would actually be, you wouldn't know the difference, really, by the time what was proposed would be done. You could tell someone from out of town it was a new building, and they wouldn't really know the difference. That's the type of overhaul or the level of overhaul that's being discussed. So I think that's just an important distinction to make, because I hear that out there a lot of, why don't they knock it down? Well, there's a lot of research that's gone into that, and it's really better for the taxpayer. Yeah. And then the second question, of course, is what's next? You know, what else? Is it a convention center? Is it sports, ice rink? The city will have its report that was looking around the periphery with the hotel, Grand Hotel, the Tech Park, and others, traffic, things like that. So that report will be out in the next couple of weeks. It should be mid-February. That's coming from our consultant. So I think really at that point, once I've got all the information, certainly that'll be a conversation, and probably thinking about, I talked to some commissioners about, you know, a potential joint meeting, maybe in that kind of first of March area, where we have both of those reports, got a chance to digest them, and then maybe we can think about some strategic steps forward.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about what could be going on there and just the improvements. And you know, talk about the misconception of tearing it down and building it back. It's like, well, we can see just about what that would cost with Mobile spending $350 million or more on doing just that, right?
And, right.
And $185 million for what this plan has called for is certainly a lot of money, and it takes a heavy lift to get all that put together. But, you know, maybe, you know, we're getting a similar product for much cheaper than what Mobile might be getting too.
So. It will. And I want to add too, I mean, I think what I'm really focused on the city report, and I mentioned previously, is that if we're going to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollar, we have to figure out how to leverage the dollar. And I think, you know, at the city, certainly I can speak for, we do that all the time. And we think about matches of these grants, so, you know, $100+ million of grants. Well, sometimes you got to put up match money. You got to find where to get that and all that. But if we can leverage taxpayer dollars to turn them into much larger dollars, then I think that's a prudent use of those money. So, I think you have to look at, and what I'm really curious to look at is, this doesn't have to be all on the taxpayer dime. This doesn't have to be, we have X amount of dollars and then this is all we have to spend. But so many cities and counties have leveraged dollars like this, like these bed tax dollars, and gotten additional investment, whether it's public-private partnership with a hotel or something like that. There's a way to stretch the taxpayer dollar much further than just saying, here's what's in the wallet and here's how much we have to spend. So there's a way to do that smartly, and that's why we're doing a second study, is to make sure that if we do go that direction and we want to leverage investment, that we have the correct information to be able to maximize the ability to do so. So that's really our focus, as well as we kind of are keeping our eyes on the prize as it pertains to how we can get other investment dollars in play, not just the taxpayer dollar.
Yep, and I think that's great. And these studies, a lot of times, will give cities and counties the tools to go to private investors to say, hey, look, we've studied this. Here's the return that we're going to get on an investment like that. So I think that's a smart play. We'll go to John for traffic on the fives and commercials, and we'll be back with Mayor D.C. Reeves.
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now, but I-10 eastbound between Highway 20, let's see here, 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road. Seeing an 8-minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, you're going to see a 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Beads are fun.
Les cellules, bon temps roulé.
Moon pies, too. Traffic, not so much. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. And we've got with us today the mayor of the city of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves. We were just talking a little bit about the Bay Center and everything that's going on there with the plans coming out and the city kind of waiting patiently for their plan to come out next month as well. So a lot going on around the Bay Center. But D.C., obviously, the new Palafox project has started with a bang. We're well into week two, and just wanted to give you a chance to give an update on what all is going on with that project and how they're looking to hit that May 24th deadline to get that 10% bonus.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we all want. I'm sure they want it, and we want it too, right?
Exactly.
To get done,
yeah.
On time. So, certainly thanks to yourself and the DIB, I've been really proud of a couple things. Number one is we got after it, and I think people can see that. That's certainly been the feedback we've gotten, in this early stage, to see that when we said we were going to move with urgency, we've really done that. And so Site and Utilities done a great job of, they got that road cut up pretty quick if you go down there and see it. And one of the cool things to me about it is walking around downtown and seeing kids and taking photos of you almost get to interact with it. It's such a kind of crazy thing to see this famous street being all torn up and people are getting some entertainment value out of it. I think it's kind of interesting. And then lastly, I think thanks to our community and thanks to you listeners out there, that have been intentional about supporting our businesses downtown. I feel like we got a long way to go, no doubt about it. And, when the shine wears off and all of that we want to keep supporting those businesses. But, I certainly am so encouraged by all of our residents, our county residents and neighbors for going out and supporting the businesses. I mean, I've eaten lots of lunches down there, especially these last couple of weeks, and tables are full and all that. And I think people really saw that when we said the sidewalks are open, they're open. It's not an issue to get down there. So I've been encouraged by that as well, as to see the outpouring of support for the local businesses, and just hope that keeps going for the next few months.
Yeah, I was talking with John earlier. I know you were probably listening at 5:15 this morning, talking a little bit about this, but how it because the tables are not on the sidewalks and people sitting out there, it looks, if you're just walking down the sidewalk, it might look like it's dead somewhere. But I went to watch football at O'Reilly's a couple Sundays ago, ran into you there, but it's like I walked up, it looked like it was closed, but I went in and it was slam-packed full of people watching Sunday football. And I didn't know if we had made it anywhere with us being able to, you know, if we're still trying to raise money for the project, if we could just rent, you know, an excavator for an hour to get around. You know, John really wants to go down there and bust some of the street up himself. Yeah. So we're just going to keep that, you know, on in front of your mind.
Well, again, we're creative fundraisers. That's, you know, right. I've already got your idea about the wrecking ball at Baptist. I'll put that one down, mm-hmm. and then, you know, purse wing or whatever. And then, we'll think outside the box, as you know. If we get to desperate times, we'll start giving some hard hats out and trying to get some volunteer labor out there, but make sure we meet that May 24th deadline. It's certainly an exciting project, much needed with all the infrastructure. And again, I'm just encouraged to see our citizens out there, see our visitors out there, and it not really deterring them from being able to support the businesses. And just to see that progress. I mean, and again, if you haven't been down, it's kind of worth seeing. I know it sounds crazy to say, hey, come look at a construction site. It's pretty amazing to look at. I mean, when you see the four or five blocks and again, this road we've all grown up around or have been around, to see it in the condition that it is right now. And guys are out there on Saturdays, guys are out there on Sundays. I mean, it is definitely a 24/7 approach. So glad to see it moving with urgency.
Yep, it's been good and certainly moving fast. DC, I know a lot of times in the role you're in, you get an opportunity to talk about big projects like Palafox, the Bay Center, the Port, the Baptist property. What are maybe some of those smaller neighborhood projects that really don't get highlighted but have a big impact in some of our neighborhoods around town that you're proud of, or that are ongoing and making an impact for just folks on their everyday life in their neighborhoods?
Well, I would say while we're downtown, certainly getting the Portland Loos put in, having public restroom facilities that are easy and inexpensive for our taxpayers to maintain. We got one at Bruce Beach now, one at MLK for the Palafox Market, and then one at the skate park, which is desperately needed to have a restroom facility at the skate park. And I always encourage people to go, if you Google Direction 25, if you're a city resident, we have basketball courts that are about to get redone across the city. We've got water fountains in, benches in, playgrounds in. We have $22 million of renovations to the things like the Cobb Center that was in desperate need of repair. Bay Bluffs Park is going to be, you know, getting started hot and heavy here this year. So, you know, that's the best kind of scorecard, so to speak, is go to, if you Google Direction 25, we've got a list of all those projects, where they are in progress, which ones have been completed. And you're right, sometimes it's hard in this position to be able to talk about every water fountain and every basketball court. You don't have that type of time. But I just want folks to know, certainly in the city, you know, we've been urgent and intentional about taking care of the things that we own and making sure that these parks and these areas are places that you can be proud of. So that's probably my most summarized answer, is that you can check out where those $22 million of your tax money is going to help, you know, build these facilities, construct these facilities, and maintain the things that you care about.
Great. We're excited to have, the new Portland Loo down at MLK Plaza for the Palafox Market. I know that the skate park, certainly, it's like you go by the skate park any time of day and there's somebody out there utilizing the skate park, and certainly at Bruce Beach as well. I don't know if you got anything else you wanted to touch on today. So I'll give you that.
Well, you know, I think, you know, obviously the last thing would certainly be, and I've been getting questions about, police chief, obviously, an extremely difficult decision to make. And we're kind of doing some final follow-ups with candidates. I am. We're trying to get something as soon as we can, but obviously, you know, this is for any mayor, this is, you know, public safety is the number one thing, and it should be always for me. We aren't trying to rush anything. We certainly aren't going to take our time, but, we're still working through that process and more to come probably, early next week to figure out kind of what our timeline might be. So, just still working through that. We hadn't forgotten about it. We got lots going on, but that's certainly something that is important to all of us and should be very, very important to all of us.
Yeah, extremely important. And I look forward to hearing what the decision is that ends up getting made. I think you had three very qualified candidates to choose from, and You know, one local and two others with success in other cities around the country. So I think it's been a good job on y'all's end. So, DC, I appreciate you calling in today, and hope you have a good rest of the week, and I'll catch you downtown at, you know, maybe another business watching some football somewhere on a Sunday.
There you go. Sounds good to me. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Walker. Appreciate it.
Thanks. John, we'll go get traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound between, let's see here, Pine Forest Road and Highway 29. Experiencing just a minor delay in that area. And let's see here, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola going south. You're going to see just a 7-minute delay. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. You are always welcome to text in at 850-437-1620. We did have someone text in and ask about the website that the mayor mentioned, talking about kind of some of the smaller projects that are going on in the city parks of Pensacola. The city approved, I think he said 22, it's somewhere around $22 or $25 million to invest into the city parks and the city of Pensacola. And that website is Direction 25. So if you just go to the old Google machine and put in Direction 25 Pensacola, that will pop right up. And then they've got a list of those projects on that page or down at the bottom of that page. You can click on a PDF there and get to it. So there's, I know that was a big lift and something they wanted to do to make sure that, you know, every neighborhood in the city was getting some benefit. There's, I think it's right at, we'll say 95, 96 parks in the city of Pensacola, which is a lot of parks for a city with a population of 55,000. The city limits of Pensacola are smaller than, you know, what we imagine the size of Pensacola to be. But the way the city limits are drawn up, it is just right at that 55,000 mark on population. So with 96 parks in it for the city to keep up with. But I think, you know, they try and do their best with limited amount of dollars they've got to invest in those. But again, as the mayor said, the new Palafox project is really gone off very fast. They did not miss a beat on getting started. The city offered up just over 400 free parking spaces in downtown Pensacola. And those city parking spaces, that's a blue or teal signs, on-street parking. The caveat to that is the Jefferson Street parking garage is still paid to park. So if you go into the parking garage there on Jefferson and Romano, the one with the big mural on the side of it, you do have to pay if you park in the garage. But if you park on the street, most everything in downtown Pensacola, street parking by the city parking, the blue signs is free. You don't have to get on your app. You don't have to go up to the pay station. You just park, get out, and go enjoy downtown just as you always have. The only thing you cannot do is drive down Palafox or park on Palafox between Garden and Main Street because there's no road there. So other than that, you know, we've been business as usual downtown. Palafox Market is still going strong on Saturdays. We're down there every Saturday, MLK Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock. We have added some more stops to our trolley route on Saturdays for the Palafox Market, which runs during market hours to get you around safely downtown and kind of hit some of those bigger parking areas that you can park in and try and give you a chance to get around easily in downtown Pensacola on Saturdays. So check out palafoxmarket.com to learn more. We'll be back after this. Talk about Mardi Gras.